Acts 10:35-45, the request of James and John. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism which I am baptized?" And they said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Janice. Thank you, Hamid Reza. Let's pray, shall we? Father, thank you that you've given us your word to help us in our journey of faith and discipleship. And God, we pray now that as we think about what this passage means, Holy Spirit, will you come and open our ears and soften our hearts and fire our imaginations, Lord, that we might learn from you and become more like you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, poor old James and John. Poor old James and John. They thought they had it sussed, didn't they? They thought they knew what it was all about. They'd been following Jesus for the last 3 years, travelling round him as he went through Galilee and Judea, doing all these amazing things. They'd had ringside seats as the crowds gathered around Jesus to hear him speak, to hear him teach, and to watch him do amazing miracles. And Jesus had chosen them to be on his team. Can you imagine? Who's ever been in the schoolyard, okay, and the teams are being picked for a football match or whatever else, okay, and you're standing there and you're just waiting to be picked. Who's ever been in that position? Kids, have you ever been there? Yeah. And what's it like when you're waiting to be picked and you think, am I going to be picked first? Am I going to be picked last? And you're dreading being picked last. But how does it feel when you're picked first? I don't really have much experience of this, but how does it feel when you're picked first? Amazing! Woo! So these disciples, James and John, they'd been picked by Jesus to be on his team. How awesome is that? And as they'd been on his team, following him round, Jesus had been teaching them so much about the kingdom of God, what it means to live in God's family under his rule. And now we're at the stage in the story when the action is really hotting up and everything's coming to a head. And the disciples, they can sense that something truly awesome is going to happen. They don't quite know what it is, but they believe that Jesus, the Messiah, they've just realized that Jesus is the Messiah, is going to establish his kingdom here on earth, just as God had promised all those centuries ago. And they're not quite sure. They're a little bit, let's scratch your head, everybody. Scratch our heads. They're a little bit, but how? They're not quite sure how it's going to happen. But they know it's going to be massive. And they want in on the action. And more than that, they want to be at center stage. They want to be right at the heart of the action. So they approach Jesus with a request. "Teacher," they say, "teacher, can I ask you a favor?" And Jesus says to them, "Oh, what's that then, lads?" I mean, this is Yorkshire Jesus, obviously. "What's that then, lads?" And they say to him, "Well, can we sit either side of you when you are crowned as king? Can we be there in the places of honour, one on each side?" And they don't say it directly, but it's pretty clear what's going through their minds, isn't it? They're looking around at Jesus' other disciples. And they're thinking, because, you know, we're a bit better than this lot. We're a bit better than them. We come from a good family. Our dad is a successful businessman, fishing business. He employs other people to work for him. He's quite wealthy. And yeah, good family. So we're a cut above. And also, we've been part of Jesus' inner circle. We were there. We were the ones who were there when Jesus raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. And we were there on that mountaintop when Jesus was revealed in his glory at the Transfiguration. We were there then when he shone with heavenly glory and he appeared with Moses and Elijah. None of the others were. Well, apart from Peter, but he's a bit of a clown. So surely, Jesus, you'll want us to be your second in command, not any of this other lot. Boys, says Yorkshire Jesus. No, boys, says Jesus, you don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with? Scratch your heads again. They think, not quite sure what he's on about there, but it sounds like we'd better say yes. So they say, yes, Jesus, we can. Says Jesus, you will drink the cup I drink and you will be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with. But to sit at my left or my right is not for me to grant. Those places belong to those for whom they've been prepared. You see, James and John, in their enthusiasm, in their zeal and in their ambition, had got it badly wrong. They totally misunderstood what Jesus was about and what he'd come to do. He hadn't come to gain earthly power and glory for himself and his friends. He'd come to do the will of his Father, and that was not to lead God's people in an armed uprising against their enemies, as they would have assumed. He had come as a conquering king, yes. But his victory would be achieved in a very different way. His victory would be achieved by laying down his life on a rough wooden cross. Not by charging into battle, sword in hand, but by surrendering to the will of his Father and to the brutal Roman nails that pierced his hands and his feet and held him to that cross. And Jesus is saying to them, as his followers, they're going to face the same opposition that he did. When he's talking about the cup of suffering, they thought it was the cup of heavenly glory that they'd be supping with him. But no, it was the cup of suffering. And they thought that the baptism that he was baptized in, well, maybe they didn't quite know what that was. And we think, well, it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it might be. But baptism, the word baptism, the Greek word is baptizein, which means to be immersed. And Jesus was about to be immersed in a whole world of pain and agony and suffering for us. To take the blame for our sin, to pay the price for our rebellion against God. And Jesus is saying to James and to John, you are going to go through something similar. Now, somehow, the other disciples, they got to hear of James and John's little ruse. And they're not happy at all. And they say, you can imagine them, can't you? What do they think they're playing at, these two? Who do you think they are? Why do you think they're better than us? So they're posturing themselves in opposition. So Jesus calls them all together for a team talk. He says to them, guys, you know that in the world, the people who are in charge like to boss other people around, don't they? But that's not the way I want you to live. You see, the route to glory in God's kingdom is not found in elbowing yourself to the front of the queue. It's not found in using your privilege to prove that you're better than everyone else. That's the world's way. It's not God's way. God's way is totally different. And Jesus says, in God's kingdom, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all. In other words, greatness. It's good to have ambition in life. It's good to have ambition. But true greatness in life doesn't come from bossing people around or from looking down on others. It comes from regarding others as better than you. Taking the position, if you like, internally of a servant and regarding others as more important than you. And doing what you can to help them. Why? Because Jesus himself said, even the Son of Man, that's Jesus by the way, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so I'm going to wrap up here by saying this. If that's what King Jesus came to do, if Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many, well, as his followers, it's what we're called to as well. So let's go back to the question that we're asking right at the start of the service. What about your ambitions? What are your ambitions in life? And how might what Jesus says about being a servant, how might that change the way you approach things? So for 2 minutes, if you feel comfortable doing this, turn to the person next to you and just think about that. What are your ambitions? What have been your ambitions? What are your ambitions? And how does what Jesus says about being a servant affect the way that you see your ambitions? Okay, for 2 minutes, turn to the person next to you, talk about that if you're comfortable doing that, and then we're going to sing again.